saying, if you're going to preach down there, I could just turn on this.
I'll be all over the place.
Okay. So. Okay.
This is the one that concerns me. Got something that's custom made for one guy. Put it on somebody else. All right. I think I've flipped every switch I'm supposed to flip. It's good to be with you this morning. I've been looking forward to this and to being with you. I commend you for continuing and with your plans to hold this meeting. I'm thankful that things are getting better, and we'll just trust that they will continue to get better. I'm going to get right into the lesson this morning from Luke chapter 10 and the last paragraph of that chapter, verses 38 through 42. It says, "It happened, and as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" I want to particularly notice what Jesus says here, because for the past year we have been worried and troubled about many things, haven't we? And it's easy to let the things of that's going on in our culture, in our health, in politics, and all of those things, it's easy to let those things distract us away from the one thing that is needed. I very much appreciated the comments that were made at the Lord's table this morning. We must always remember that one thing is needed. And, you know, this is true not only in light of the events of this past year. It's true also just in regards to life. We have health problems, we have relationship problems, we have financial problems, all kinds of things come up, and it's easy for us to become distracted and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary chose the good part that would not be taken from her. I want to focus a little bit on that good part and discuss some of it with us this morning. First of all, we need to find the good part. Mary had chosen the good part, but before she could choose it, she had to find it. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord," or a reverence for, whenever you see "Lord" in all caps, that's referring to the name of God. You'd be Yahweh, Jehovah, a reverence for the Lord, and is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. To know the good part, you're going to have to learn the good part. Where are you going to learn it from? There's a lot of people who proclaim that they know the good part, but God is the one who has revealed His will to us in the Word of God, we know as the Bible. But before we'll go to the Bible, before we'll start taking instruction from the Bible, we must first fear the Lord. We must first reverence Him. We must recognize Him as Almighty God, that He is our Creator, that He is our Savior, that He wants what is best for us, and He provides what is very best for us. especially in His instruction, in His Word. Proverbs 19 and verse 8 said, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good." To find wisdom, we first of all need to have a reverence for God. A reverence for God will lead us in His way of wisdom and knowledge, keep an understanding of His will for us, and find good. It's an interesting expression, we'll find good. It's not that just that you find it instructed in here, but you trust it, obey it, practice it, and you will realize good in your life. That life is better, life is good when you walk with God. We are to, once we have found it then, like Mary, we are to choose it. Mary has chosen that good part that will not be taken from her. Did Mary revere God? Yes. Did she want to know His way and learn His way? Yes. Did she choose to walk and live in the good way that Jesus was teaching? Yes, she did. Mary chose the good part that would not be taken from her. We must be sure that we are like Mary and choose that good part as well. That good part abides. Romans 8 and verses 38 through 39. Once you have chosen the way of God, it cannot be taken from you. Here we read where Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Once we choose to walk with God, nothing, no created thing can take us away from God. Now, can we choose not to walk with God? Shake your heads this way. Yes. Yes, we can make that choice too. But there's no one that can separate you from God. Once you choose to walk with Him, to live with Him, to abide in that good way that He instructs us in. As we choose it, we'll find that it is indeed the way of salvation. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 10 says, "Who God will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good seek glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That phrase, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek," comes up over and over and over again in Romans because Paul was addressing the Judaizing teachers of that day and showing that the gospel is for all. It's for all men, for Jew and Gentile. But the point that we're pulling from these verses is that the way of salvation, by patient continuance in doing good that we hear from God's Word, that God instructs us, this is good, this is the way that is good, and we choose to walk in that way, we will find glory, honor, and immortality. But if we choose not to walk in His way, and it's our choice, if we go our way rather than God's way, if we are self-seeking instead of God-seeking and not obey the truth, then we will find the indignation of God, the wrath of God, tribulation and anguish on every soul that does evil. That may be true here in this life. It is especially true, of course, hereafter in eternity. Are we not all seeking to some degree glory and honor and peace? We would all like to know peace, wouldn't we? To some degree, I guess we're all seeking glory. We might be humble, but we'd like to share in the glory of God in eternity. And this is what he is certainly looking forward to. That is for those who choose the good way, as Mary chose. John 5 and verse 28 and 29 says, Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Those that have done good, have you chosen the good way that Mary did? Have you chosen the good way that comes by hearing the Word of God, reverencing God, and keeping His commandments? If we choose the good way and live in that good way, practice that good way, he says, when you come forth out of the grave, when you're resurrected in that changed body, then transformed body, you will be resurrected to life. But if we choose not to, we recognize there is a resurrection to condemnation. Certainly, it's becoming clear that there's a clear choice to make. And it makes sense to make the choice that Mary chose. We are to love the good way because the good way is of God. Matthew 19 and verse 17 said, "Why do you call me good?" This is where the rich ruler had come to Jesus and said, "Good master, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And before Jesus answered the question, he stopped him. Because this young man had made the same common mistake that we make today. I guess people have been calling each other good as long as there have been people. Oh, he's a good man. She's a good woman. They're good people. That's a good church, you know? And I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that. It's just what we have done is that we have defined good down. We have brought the standard of good down to our level. And what Jesus is doing here is elevating the standard of good where it rightly belongs. There is none good but God. God is the standard of good. And I think subconsciously we kind of understand that when we call each other good. We say, well, he's a good person. She's a good person. I'm a good person. And because I'm a good person, what? I'll be saved. That's kind of implied when we use that term good. When we come up to the standard of good, then we're kind of implying that we're okay with God. And Jesus is saying that's not necessarily the case. God is good. Have you come up to His standard of good? It's interesting, the young man had probably been calling several people good throughout his life, as we do. This is the first time he ever got it right and he didn't know it. Good master? Yeah, he was God. He was the Word of God in the flesh. There is none good but God. If you want to keep and enter into life, keep the commandments. Choose the good way. revere God and keep His commandments. It's not difficult. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, that's not difficult. And that is repeated over and over and over and over again throughout Old Testament and New Testament, the gospel of Christ as well. Jesus simply said it, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not honk your horn or all these other things that you might, slogans you might hear. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love the good way. Follow it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15 says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Revenge is not the way. We are to love our neighbors. We are to love those who love us. Jesus said, you're also to love your enemy. Always pursue what is good. Always do good to others. Always do to others what you would like for them to do to you. That is the good way. Always pursue what is good. Amos 5, verse 14, and the first part of verse 15 says, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good. If you're looking for a recommendation as to which you should choose, there's the recommendation from God. Hate evil and love good. Seek good and don't seek evil. You ever find yourself seeking evil? Is there a particular temptation that you are drawn to and for some reason you just want to entertain that temptation? And you go seeking the temptation. Don't do that. Stop that. Don't pursue that which is evil. Pursue that which is good. Look into His Word. Spend time with His Word. Meditate on His Word. And most importantly, apply His Word to your practice of life. So we are to practice that good way once we have found it. 3 John in verse 11 says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. Do not imitate what is evil. Don't practice evil. Don't imitate evil. Sometimes we see people, you know, dancing or acting or walking or singing or doing things, and we think that maybe looks kind of cool, I guess, or something. Are those people representing what is good? Are they representing God's standard of good, or are they representing that which is evil? Don't imitate. You might say, well, what they're doing is not necessarily evil. Do they represent evil? Are they drawing attention to their lifestyle? Don't imitate what is evil. Imitate what is good. And I think sometimes that's where we start. We imitate good. We might not be committed to it, but we know what is good, and so we'll do what is good. We're not wholly committed to it, but we're going to imitate it. Let's do that which is good. It's not enough to hear what is good and to know what is good. You know the passage, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Any faith comes by hearing. Anything you believe and trust and act upon, it comes because you've heard it, you've seen it. You might have just heard a thought in your own mind, but anyway, you've entertained something that you have heard, and then you act upon that. That's faith. Hearing is not faith. Knowing is not faith. Believing is not faith. Faith is doing what we know God's Word tells us to do. If faith is not working, if faith is not active, it's if it's not displaying, if you choose the good part and say, well, yeah, that's the right way to go, but then you don't practice it, it's not going to do you any good. Do good. Those who do good is of God. Proverbs 2 and verse 20 says it this way, so you may walk in the way of goodness. There's a path of goodness that God has laid out for us in His Word. And what He's saying for us is, you walk in that path. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left. You stay on the path, walk in the path, demonstrate what God has revealed to be good in your life. Hold fast to that which is good. Romans 12 and verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let your love for God be genuine. Don't let it just be a Sunday morning type of thing. Don't let it just be a lip service type of thing. Let your love for God be demonstrated by keeping His commandments in your life, in your marriage, in your family, at your workplace, certainly in your congregation. Let your love for God and your love for your brethren be genuine. Abhor what is evil. You won't pursue temptation if you abhor what is evil. God hates sin. Do you? I think a lot of times we choose what is good, but we're mostly doing what is good, but we hold on to a little bit of what is evil. Don't do that. Abhor what is evil. Develop the right attitude towards sin. And the right attitude towards sin is the attitude that God has towards sin. Hate it. Abhor it. Is there any food that you just absolutely abhor? Do you put it on your plate? If you've got anything to say about it, you probably don't even put it on the table. You don't even put it in your cabinet or your refrigerator because you abhor it. Why can't we develop that attitude towards sin? If you abhorred it, you wouldn't be tempted by it, and you most certainly wouldn't be practicing it. We just need to develop the right attitude. Cling to what is good. Both of these words are in contrast to each other. Abhor. Well, if I abhor something, I'm not going to anyways close to it. Not even going to think about it. Okay. On the other hand, cling to what is good. Now, this doesn't mean just hold on to what is good. I'm holding this songbook. Clinging to something is, have you ever been on a high place someplace? And it's just you and, maybe, we used to have TV towers on the side of our house, and you could climb up those towers. And you get up to the, you start going up and you're kind of holding on to, going up. You get up 40 feet or so, you cling. You cling on to that tower. You've got a grip you didn't even know you had. There's no way you don't let go unless you've got three other parts of your body touching that tower too. And then this one is clinging to it. Cling to what is good. Once you've found it, hold on to it. Keep practicing it. Keep growing in it. Keep meditating on God's Word. And most importantly, keep practicing what God teaches you, what is good. So He teaches us from His Word. Cling to it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Same thing. Cling to what is good. Test all things. Sometimes, you know, somebody comes along and says, well, what about this? Okay, what about that? Let's test it against the doctrine of Christ. And if it's good, then let's practice it. Let's hold on to it. And if it's not, then let go of it. And don't look back. Doesn't matter if you thought of it or some good friend thought of it or whatever it might be. Test all things. Hold fast. Cling to what is good. Overcome. Certainly overcome with the good part. Romans 12 and verse 21 says it this way. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Revere God. Keep His commandments. And as you know His commandments, as you're tempted to do evil, you know His commandments, and you're going to overcome the evil by practicing the good that God teaches you to practice. And protect that which is good. Romans 14 and verse 6 is an interesting phrase. It says, do not let your good be evil spoken of. Anybody have a dog? It's kind of interesting that if you have a dog, and especially if that dog lives in the house with you, doesn't matter how big or small that dog is, doesn't matter what breed it is, doesn't matter how friendly that dog is. Debbie and I guess, took care of my daughter and son-in-law and our granddaughter's dog. He's young, just a couple months old. And he's in the living room there with us, you know, and he's a real friendly kind of dog. And all of a sudden, yeah, and when he barks, it's a yip, 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 yip type of thing. But he's a, you know, he's going to be around a 50-pound dog, you know, someday. And he's probably, I don't know, 25, 30 pounds now. But anyway, he's kind of a, most of the time when he barks, when he says anything, it's that high-pitched kind of squeak. So we're sitting there that evening, and all of a sudden it's a, you know, at the front door. And something was out there, you know, and probably what was out there was the neighbor's cat. And the neighbor's cat comes over and likes to sleep on our doormat. Protect what is good. That's what he was doing. He was protecting us. Dogs will do that. They'll protect those that they love. Do you love the good way? Do you love your soul? Protect it. Defend it. Don't let it be evil spoken of. We've got a big thing going on today in our culture. This wokeness and white privilege and all of that kind of stuff that's coming up. People are now promoting if you're white, you're a racist just because you were born white. Let me tell you something. People start talking that way, you need to answer them. First and foremost, you're a Christian and you're not a racist. You recognize that all people, all nationalities, all skin colors, all cultures, Christ died for all. They're all equal before God. They're all just as treasured by God, and you treasure them as well. And you need to challenge some of these new phrases that are coming up. When somebody challenges you or accuses you of practicing white privilege, You need to answer and say, you know, that is just as racist as the N-word. You're dividing people. These people hate the work of Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, judging people by their character rather than the color of their skin. They hate that. We need to challenge it, or our country's in big trouble. When people challenge whether you love God or love them because of the standard of God's word, you just say, God judges us all equally. His word doesn't see culture and race. He sees that we're all equal. Doesn't even see gender. We're all equal. And certainly proclaim the good way. Don't keep it to yourself. I call it, don't be a secret agent Christian. You know, let your light be seen. Matthew 12 and verses 34 through 35, Jesus, we read here, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's the principle. There's a principle of truth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But here the challenge, why are you people evil speaking good things? You can't speak good things because it's not in your heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. What's in your heart? Is the good way in your heart? You revere God, you keep His commandments, you know His way. But what's being expressed here is, it's not just to be in your heart, it's to be expressed, it's to be spoken, it's to be shared with others. Isaiah 52 and verse 7, we read, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. There's trouble. There's trouble in Israel when Isaiah was prophesying. There was trouble in Israel. But people, your God reigns. There's trouble in your country. There's trouble in your family. There's trouble in a congregation. There's trouble in relationships. Your God reigns. And if we would all recognize the sovereignty of God and elevate the reigning of God, many of our problems would be solved. So Mary had chosen the good way. And like Mary, we need to find it, choose it, realize that it abides, that it is the way of salvation, love it because of its source. God is love, and He has revealed this to us. Follow it, practice it, hold fast to it, overcome with it, protect it, and proclaim it. Just like at that scene that we noticed at the beginning of our lesson, Jesus said to Martha, you're distracted by many things. You are troubled and worried about many things. It's easy to worry about the many things, isn't it? It's easy to get troubled about the many things. But let's remember, one thing is needed. Your salvation, your service to God, your glorifying God by doing His will in your life, that's the one thing that matters. Let's always emphasize that in our lives. Let's always pursue it. Let's always be like Mary and choose the good part. and never choose not to practice the good part. If you're here this morning and you have chosen, like Mary, the good part, you revere God, you trust His Word, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the point that you have made the decision in your life to turn from sin, to walk in the way of God, to honor Him and to glorify Him in your life. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you're ready to take that step this morning, all things are ready and prepared for you to assist you in that obedience. If you're here today and you're a child of God out of favor with Him, you need to make things right with Him. James 5 and verse 16 tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today, in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.